Hello, lovely listeners. On this episode, we talk about some big Sony news, Final Fantasy VII Intermission, and a big PS5 update coming soon. Plus, we do have a little bit of Kojima stuff going on. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up? I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and as always, we will go into what we have been playing.
And yes, that means I do go first this time. Rob is back. Mm-hmm. Rob is back here.
Yes, I am here now.
Rob is back, and I do go first here. So yeah, I've been playing, I guess, a bit of everything. Again, every week we always shuffle. But it's been a bit more focused. So again, I've been playing Bravely Default 2. Yeah, that whole story. I am still power leveling my characters. It's still happening. So this is still happening. I am still at the, I would say like the very beginning. I'm still trying to collect 99 of almost every item before I actually move on. That way I can like, get some, job orbs and I can level, everything up, just much faster and just power level my way through the game. Just like I enjoy it, so I am still doing that and forging and playing it in short spurts. So Bravely Default 2, again, great game if you like RPGs. I've been also playing another Square Enix RPG, and this one I always turn on whenever I get the feeling to play like a Final Fantasy game. Recently, it's been Final Fantasy 13 too. God, why didn't this one come out before Final Fantasy 13? Just why? It's just a much better game than Final Fantasy 13 in terms of just gameplay. Well, it's more what I expected from Final Fantasy 13 at the time. So Final Fantasy 13 2, I've been playing that. I just love that game. It's a ballsy game. It's very ballsy. In terms of spoilers, the ending. I just got it out there, but I'm not gonna spoil any more of it. In terms of just the story, it's a very crazy game, and it has one feature which I wish next gen consoles had like on default. I don't know if you guys remember this sort of thing from Final Fantasy 13 2, but anytime you start up Final Fantasy 13 2 and it's been a real long while, you get a recap video of what has happened in the story. And this is something I wish that every game had. Every like story-based game had. It like threw me right in. And that's what I love about that. Like, it just throws you right in. It gets you, you know, to the story, even though if you know it. Like, I generally like forgot a majority of the things besides the ending, to be completely honest. But yeah, that recap feature, I wish every game had it. It would work perfect with a lot of story-based games. So I've been playing Final Fantasy 13 2. And also, I talked a bit about it last week, Disco Elysium. So that has been getting a majority of my playtime. And again, the theme here is RPGs for me. This game has been so good. So good. Everything is done to like an extreme in terms of presentation, and it's so well crafted. And I really love that every choice that you make does matter. There's not many games that do that. So it's a very important game, I think, for the gaming medium, just in general. And I know, Joey, you were going to pick it up as well. I remember you telling me you wanted to pick it up as well.
Yeah, kind of forgot. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely pick it up sometime. There's just way too much to play right now, which is, you know, kind of how it always is. But yeah, super interested.
For sure. it's definitely one of those titles that just grab you from the moment that you start. And I've played for about 14 hours so far, and it is so good in terms of just the storyline, just the dialogue, just the voice acting is pretty good, which was added for the director's cut, which came out on the PlayStation 5 and is coming out on consoles. And the PC version also got the upgrade as well. So yeah, that's an experience right there. That's an experience. That's another like The Last of Us Part 2. It's definitely one of those games that's just up there. In terms of the story, and it's a different type of game. You know, it's another RPG. It's a different, completely different type of game in terms of mood and genre. But yeah, that's all I've been playing, and I'm definitely gonna go back for more Disco. So you'll hear more about it, because I've already done so much things in that game that I'm like, wow, like. You know, in another RPG, like, this is not possible to, like, outwit one of the characters in the game to, like, give you more information, outwit them to do things for you. So it is so well done. I recommend this game, like, wholeheartedly. Just go ahead and pick it up if you're looking for a great story. And I haven't even finished it. And that's how impressed I am with it, even at this stage. So yeah, that's all I've been playing recently. Joey, what have you been playing? I know we play some stuff together too, so that's other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Outriders still, or again, or whatever. That game's still a lot of fun. It sucks people have been having legit issues where it like deletes your inventory. And like they think you can get it back, but that would absolutely suck if that happened. So I've avoided that. I haven't had any crashes, one disconnect, which wasn't bad at all. But I think once they can figure out the server issues and that, it's a really solid game and like definitely a really good base to grow off of. I mean, I think the base is better than what the original Destiny was, which is awesome because I think it could definitely be a franchise in the future. And it seems to be doing well on, you know, Steam. It's on Game Pass as well, which tons of people are playing it, and it seems to be doing pretty well on PS5 as well.
It's selling a lot of copies on PS5.
It's selling, like, everywhere, which is, like... I would have bought it on PC, but, like, my PC won't run it well. I know that for a fact. But it runs... I mean, the aiming is a little janky, I feel like, but I think that's just me not liking aiming with a... joystick, but you know, it runs fine enough. They still got to fix the crossplay a little bit. There's some jankiness between that, but for a first outing of a new franchise, like it's solid. It's solid. So you guys aren't buying it, right?
Well, I already said what I needed to say about it. I already know what to expect because I played the demo and I'm gonna wait until it gets cheaper, so I could play it on the PS5 or the PC. So I'm just gonna wait until it gets cheaper. Like for me, now the bug with like the inventory messing up, that would piss me off.
I mean, if it happened to me, I probably wouldn't continue.
Yeah, that would piss me off. So I'm kind of cautious on it because of the server issues at the moment. But again, I played the demo. I thought it was just okay. But if those issues, you know, arise, it would probably like completely like turn me completely off of the game. So I'm just going to wait until it gets, at a cheaper price. Then I'm going to like join in, but. Yeah, those issues are huge, especially, again, we ex- we expect like that to happen for an online only game. I hear like the single player is also connected to the online. You have to be connected online. So that's another thing where it, mm-hmm. you know, where I do want to see fixed in that sense. Because the game is not like a game as a service. Well, it's not pitched as a game as a service game. So, yeah, I'm just going to wait and see. I'm just cautious about the online stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm like probably like 85 or 90% of the way through. So hopefully next time I can talk about the end games and such. Another Game Pass game, Hotshot Racing. It's actually like a, it's just an arcade racer by Sumo Digital. And it's, the art style is cool because it's like kind of like low poly. It's like blocky looking, very colorful. It's just a, like a mindless game. It just, you know, an arcade racer. It's fun to pass the time, and like you can do like, you know, 5-10 races in like, I don't know, 10-15 minutes or something. So like it's cool just to like pop something on when you don't know what to play or don't feel like playing anything that you have to like really spend brain power on or time on. Just popping that on. That's what I've been doing a lot of Game Pass games. Just like I finished Donut Country last week. Again, that was another one. I was like, people said it was cool. It's like, I don't know, 3-ish hours long or something like that. It's pretty short. And yeah, and just Game Pass is perfect for like finding that shorter game that I might not have played or bought. And then, yeah, just kind of putting that in. It's kind of like that intermission, in between bigger games, which I don't know. I always get tired of bigger games. And like, that's why I usually finish games to like 80% and then just quit, which, that's like my 2021 resolution. Just like, you know, actually finish a game. So we'll see if Outriders ever gets finished. It should, but the other game, also included with the subscription, like my whole list is just subscription based. Outriders, Hotshot Racing, and Zombie Apocalypse 4. This was with PlayStation Plus. It's a rebellion joint where you kill Nazi zombies. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's fun. I think we talked, it's just straightforward. Like it's like, hey, go kill these things. You know, it's just kind of nice. Another one of those ones. You don't have to really use too much brain power. You just kill Nazis, which is always fun. And this time they happen to be zombies. So it's cool. The co-op's been fun. Me and Jose have been playing it, and yeah, it's fun to pop on for, you know, like an hour or so. I just go, like, it feels good, looks pretty good, it's interesting. Yeah, there's like,
it's a very detailed arcade game, that's for sure.
It is. I mean, it's like if you played a rebellion game, like, you know what to expect. Like the guns feel good, you know. There's a lot of upgrades. It seems like a lot of it is behind like a paywall of some sort. I have no idea how much it is. I haven't really felt the need to like look into it, but it's definitely one of the more, I mean, it's one of the PS Plus games I've played recently. Because I'm kind of like at a standstill with what to play on, you know, PS5, but hey, that game's fun. So like, if you like shooting zombies and don't feel like playing Call of Duty, like pop that in, you'll have a blast. Rob, take it away.
I have been playing like almost nothing. I mean, the only thing I've been playing is like Ring Fit Adventure. I don't know why I forgot that title. And I've been pretty consistent about it. There really isn't anything to say about that anymore. I mean, just couldn't keep on going. The only other thing I've been playing is like Monster Hunter Rise, which I bought when it came out. And I know I have over 10 hours into it, but I've kind of been taking my time, like kind of doing everything I can. Even though it feels a lot smaller scale than Monster Hunter World, I feel like it has quality of life upgrades that kind of elevates it above World. Plus, like, Monster Hunter World had a certain, a lot of the monsters felt very similar. Like, they were all, like, winged wyverns. Like, everything was just kind of, like, you know, winged dragon just about, with like a few other ones. But this one actually feels like there's a lot more variety in terms of like monster types. So that's really cool. Like, I'm still like early on, like I'm still a low rank, so I haven't seen like, I think I'm like low rank in 4-star missions. I've been taking my time with the 4-star missions. So like there's plenty more monsters to hunt, but like it's just such a lovely like upgrade, like in terms of quality of life upgrades, and like just I can play a mission, or I could play a monster hunt and then just be done like fairly quickly. The monsters don't have a shit ton of health like with Iceborne, but yeah, I'm loving it. It looks surprisingly good if you don't look too close, which sounds like backhanded praise, but like it's using the RE engine, and some of the cutscenes like look really good, but you can kind of see some dithering in the shadows, and like some of the textures aren't too great. But like, I mean, I'm sure the PC version, when that's coming out next year, is gonna, you know, bump those up, but it's not gonna be a massive change. So, but yeah, I mean, that's it. I've just been playing Monster Hunter Rise every once in a while. I haven't played really anything else except for maybe some Taiko no Tatsujin. I've been playing the rhythm portions of the adventure pack, like the RPGs. I haven't actually started the RPGs yet. But, oh, I guess I did play Destiny, but whatever. I stopped that to play Monster Hunter. Anyway, whatever. Who cares? All right, let's go on to topics. We will go into the first one, which is Ryu and Chun-Li have joined the cast for Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. They were in the mobile game Legacy Wars, and they're now officially ported over to the console/PC game. Coming out May 25th for $5.99 each, or together for $12.50. The game looks boring, and the characters look stupid.
I was about to say I'm there.
That's a glowing
endorsement. That's a very glowing endorsement.
Yes.
I was about to say I'm there. I am so yes. there. I will be paying. I will be paying $12.50 for it. Yes, it's happening.
I feel like I've said this before on the podcast, but like when I bought Battle for the Grid, like everyone was like, yeah, it's like, you know, Marvel 3 and. You know, it's like really cool, and it's not. It's nothing like Marvel 3. And I'm not saying that as like, I was expecting it to be 100% like, you know, Marvel 3. It's just not very fun to me. It's one of the few games I've gotten a refund on Steam. Just like, I bought it, I'm like, no. And for a brief moment after I saw that Ryu and Chun-Li got announced, I'm like, hell yeah. I saw the announcement trailer. I'm like, No, I'm good.
It's the presentation with the game. Because the game still... It's still trying. Like, they're still trying to piece mm-hmm. it.
Even though I don't like it, the fact that they've pushed so hard in terms of, like, continuous upgrades, like, constant content, like, that's fantastic. Like, absolutely. Like, if it's your jam, then, I mean, the fact that it's being supported this long is fantastic. Like, if they make a sequel where, like, they up the budget and, like, you know, make it more robust, then, I mean, I would still probably buy it, because I fucking love Power Rangers. So I'm interested in it, but like, yeah, it's just as it is, this product on the shelves.
It's all presentation based, because I totally get you, because it's all presentation based with this one. This is like the reverse, almost a reverse of Infinite, almost in terms of like being put together, because this game has a lot of stuff going for it in terms of like the actual, like, just the gameplay itself. It's just that the budget really hinders it, and you notice it too, because when you play it, you notice, like, sound effects not sounding correctly. You notice, like, things are not just up to snuff compared to other fighters. And even there's some budget fighters which look real, real good, and you could tell, like, the presentation was due to, I guess, not to budget reasons, but the styling. I think the styling is what throws this game off, and I feel with, like, a bigger budget, they'd be able to pull it off better, and, you know, just give it a better first, you know, first impression. Because when it first originally came out, it was pretty poor. It was. It's gotten better. But I am here for Chun-Li and Ryu in the game. It's happening. I am purchasing it. It is happening. And yeah, I rarely play it, but this will get me to, like, come back to it and just play it a bit more. Like, I played it, the last time I played it was probably like a month or two ago. And that was all because I wanted to hear Virgil's voice again, because the voice actor who did Virgil in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, he's in the game, so he's a ranger, and most of his quotes are from Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So that's like the only reason I go back to it, just to, like, play that character and just hear the voiceovers, but. Even so, yeah, I will be here for that, for the Ryu and Chun-Li. I am excited about that. I wish it was, you know, more budget to it. But yeah, I definitely see, well, where you're coming from with that. Like,
but yeah, like, it's just not my thing. Yeah, I mean, what else is there to say? Nothing. Well, I guess we'll see when they officially come out, like, next month, which I just realized May is next month, so.
Yeah, all these games are coming fast here, with these next games coming up.
Hard and fast, yes. And I guess from one DLC to another, let us talk a little bit about Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which is, I guess, the PS5 upgrade version, but the how did I forget her name? The Yuffie, there we go. The Yuffie mission is called Intermission. I did almost forget her name. I don't know why. Which is going to be $20, which is a good price depending on the length. I don't know if they've officially said how long it's going to be.
They haven't said it.
I'm expecting like 4 to 6 hours, so.
Yeah, that's exactly where I see fit, like around the 4 to 6 hour range for a DLC of this type. Especially like the amount that they were able to filler out in the actual, you know, remake. So I definitely could see 4 to 6 hours. And I know we got some news there on the full voice cast has been released as well. And we got a bit more details in terms of, like, Yuffie's moves and, you know, how they're going to look. And also, just her fighting style, that, you know, what to expect from it. So we also got a view of that through pictures, through new screens. And pretty much details and information on those moves. And those look pretty cool. I think, like, the actual, like, DLC looks pretty cool. And it's a cool way to keep the game just pretty much just more engagement with the game. Because, again, this is all episodic. We're still waiting on part two. So what a great way to boost it up and keep it still engaged in terms of current events.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is one of the easier DLCs to sell just because everybody who played the game loved it. And, like, I've been itching to go back to it, but I'm not going to do that before the integrate upgrade is there, obviously. And like, I don't know. There's just something about it. I've just been itching to play it so bad, and like, it just doesn't make sense yet, obviously. But what, there's only one thing I don't get about this. Who names these things? Integrate, intermission, like.
Well, I mean, they do make sense. Like, integrate, I remember looking it up last time. It's just like, it meant like something. I forget. Now I'm like drawing a blank.
you almost forgot Yuffie.
I mean, intermission. I know. But even intermission kind of makes sense, because it's like intermission, it's like the break between two acts. So it's between, you know, episode one or chapter one and chapter two. Episode one, episode two, I guess, since the chapters in the game. And it is a Yuffie mission, so intermission makes sense. It's dumb.
It's still ridiculous, but...
Yeah, but it's not as dumb as Revengeance. Oh, yeah. It still is an actual English word. No.
What's going to be interesting, too, with this is how is it going to tie... with the story, like, how is it going to tie with the story? Is it just going to be a selectable mission, or is it going to be something where you have to go back into the main story to play? Like, that's what I'm wondering, just for for this intermission, and also for part two. I wonder, like, how are they going to take your character levels? I know in the intermission you don't play with Cloud. But that got me thinking about part two. You know, when they do officially join the party, like Yuffie, and you come back to part two, how is the level structure going to work? So I'm curious to see if this introduces it, I guess. Like, you know, even for a bit of Yuffie meets Cloud earlier. I know she was a secret character in 7, so you didn't have to get her.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be kind of like seeing the other side of the story in terms of like, Yuffie's going to like kind of maybe not necessarily interact with the core group in this one, but like kind of like be in the background, like looking, seeing what's happening. She might, you know, accidentally bump. $10 says there's going to be a scene where, like, Yuffie accidentally bumps into, you know, one of the main cast. Like, on the street, like, accidentally bumps into them, and then... Because there's always stuff like that in these things. But yeah, like, I'm sure it's just going to be, you know, a quick thing. I don't think any of the levels or anything like that is going to be carried over. I think this is just like a fun little thing that they're kind of, you know, they finish with the main game. They're like, yeah, let's do this little story, introduce another character. And then, I mean, I don't know about how levels are going to transfer over. It kind of makes sense, I guess, if it uses your save and like transfers over some stuff, but not like all of it, I guess.
Yep.
Since it's not like it's a full, I mean, it's, of course, it's like a 40-ish hour game, but, I mean, it doesn't feel like you have a lot of stuff or a lot of tools like you would in, like, regular 7, so...
Yeah, they're probably, like, I've always thought, like, they would just take away your materia, and then that's it. Like, you know, and they give you, like, a set materia that you could pick.
I don't think it'll take away your materia, but I think, like, when you start, like, you only have certain things. Like, I'd be surprised if you don't have, like, a fire materia or something like that. They'll probably just make fire and stuff like that a little bit more powerful. And then, like, maybe start Cloud and the party at, like, level 20 or something. Maybe, like, if you have, like, a save file from the first episode, you get like all your weapons, but then like you get more weapons in the next chapter. I don't know. I feel like we're like years beyond finding out what.
We're definitely years beyond. But I'm very curious because, you know, it being intermission, I feel like Yuffie might not even be a part of the main game, and they're just like breaking it up. Like they're like, okay, so we're gonna do Yuffie gets her own like part of it, and then part two comes out, then Vincent gets his own intermission.
They might integrate her into part two.
Well,
okay, sorry.
Well, I don't think Vincent's gonna get his own mission. Just because, from what I remember in the original game, like after they leave Calm, like I think that's when you can get Vincent. Like there's a cave that you can get him in, so he would more than likely show up in the second chapter. Second episode.
But he's also a character that you need to get. That's
true, but I mean, they've made it kind of clear that like they still consider Yuffie and Vincent part of the crew, even though they were secret characters, because like they did show up in Advent Children. Like Vincent got his own spinoff game that had Yuffie in it as well. So like they're part of the crew. They're not gonna like make them hidden characters.
More like make them DLC. More like make them DLC episodes. Yeah.
No, because I feel like they're gonna integrate.
Integrate, eh?
Yes, they are gonna integrate them into the story. Like I don't want them to be like secret characters where you miss stuff, because like it's not like text like the old games. It's like it's actual like animation and dialogue and stuff that you're going to be missing. So I'm pretty sure they will be in it.
Yeah, and that actually comes out in June, so I'm just very interested in just how long the story is going to be. So June is going to be great, just a replay, so definitely that's going to be cool. Now, I guess we could go on to another thing that's been heavily rumored so far, and that is Kojima. Hideo Kojima is rumored to make a new title, which is coming to the Xbox. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, doesn't matter to me. I have both, so, and it's going to be on PC, so I mean,
I mean, what do you expect from like a Kojima game? Like for me, I want it now. Like he made one of like favorite games out of last generation. Well, the PS4, Xbox One generation, Death Stranding. So I want it. I just want it now. I don't care where it's at. I just want it. I just want to see what sort of a, you know, what game he comes up with this time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're, assuming it is true, like Microsoft isn't going to dictate anything. They'll probably just be like, yo, whatever you want to make, just make it. So it'll be very straight up Kojima, which is kind of cool. It's kind of how Death Stranding seemed to be as well. So yeah, definitely be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, like I have no expectations for a Kojima game. Like I like the Metal Gear games, even though I put in like over 100 hours in Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't know what to expect, and that's not necessarily a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing either. It's just I have to see something about it. I have to know information about like gameplay systems, story, because that's why I'm not interested. I wasn't interested in Death Stranding because it's like I'm not interested in like in the gameplay. Like I don't want to, you know, lug shit around the US. Like that's not my jam. Even though like everything else about it seemed interesting, it seemed cool, just not interested in it. So I have like no expectations, I'm not going to say no interest, but like no expectations. It's not really going to be on my radar until I see something. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
One thing I do wish he which he does finally get, is an editor. Like, Kojima needs an editor.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
He needs an editor. As much as I love Death Stranding, and I love Metal Gear as well, he needs an editor. He needs someone to, like, cut certain things for him. Yeah, because there were some things in Death Stranding that completely, like, you know, it's just crazy Kojima, like, all in his ass there. In terms of the story. So he needs an editor, but I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm ready for whatever he brings on.
Yeah, he's far too solidified in the industry to have someone that would be that person to, like, pull the reins in.
Oh, no, he needs it. He needs it.
Good and like, bad, but it's not going to happen.
He absolutely needs it, but no, he is basically at George Lucas status where...
Oh, for sure.
Where no one can really tell him no, and... Not in a way, in a way where it's kind of like detrimental to what he's trying to say. Like, if he had someone to be like, okay, well, no, we got to pull back here, maybe expand here. But he's not going to have an editor. Microsoft is literally probably going to be like, all right, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to pretty closely write him a blank check and just like, yo, go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be very unlike the Scalebound situation.
Yeah, I hopefully we see more, and we see more of it soon. I'm so ready for it. I guess we're going to move on to our next topic. This actually involves the PlayStation 3 store, because as everyone all knows, that the PlayStation 3, the PS Vita, and the PSP store are going to actually be closed coming this summer. But this one in particular involves the PS3 store, because recently there's been talks about since the PS3 store is closing, that it would not allow any more updates. So you wouldn't be able to update any sort of game that you play on your PS3. It would just be whatever the update is, or whatever the update that you do have. Which is kind of crazy when thinking about it. It's very crazy, because it does show like the effects of actually like just a digital storefront. It does show the effects of a digital storefront. Again, it's just very crazy. What I think is going on is that with the PS3 store, with the PS3, with the PS Vita and the PSP, Sony just wants to get rid of it, because those are things that they can't actually work on. Well, more the PS3 store than anything. And it relied on a different network, compared to the PS4 ecosystem, where the PS4 ecosystem is more forward, in that sense. So yeah, it's crazy how digital storefronts are in this sense, especially this, where you can like patch up a game. If you're not able to patch up a game to like its latest update, you might just have a broken game.
I mean, yeah, especially for how many games have day one
patches. That's a problem with those day one patches. Like, it's especially those games with day one patches.
I mean, I think it was Skyrim on PS3 ran like absolute garbage once you got anything in your inventory. Not that there's probably that many people playing Skyrim there that aren't playing it on 15 other devices, but still, it's just like the idea of certain things. Like, I don't know if there's been updates to like Metal Gear Solid 4, which is like, you know, nowhere. But is it on PS?
Yeah, it is on. It's on PS now.
But, like, you should be able to, like, especially if you have the disc, you should be able to play that fine, but if there's an update, like, I don't know. Like, it gets weird if it's true. Again, we don't know if it is 100% true or not, but that would be pretty unfortunate. I mean, they're just, kind of like you said, like, they're just trying to move past that whole generation of, like consoles, which really sucks because like there are some games that are just stranded on those consoles, which they can't, you know, you can't play legally, or you have to play through PS. Yeah. Which sucks.
Yeah, which is also crazy because it's like it also gets interesting with just exactly what Sony is going to do with PlayStation Now. Because if they're playable on PlayStation Now,
yeah,
you know, then how does that work? Because if they're playable on PlayStation Now, that's why I think something is coming for this. And again, we don't know if it's true where the updates won't be allowed after the store is closing. So it's kind of hard to gauge exactly where this is going. And a PlayStation Now still has, you know, those PS3 games that you can still run because they're there. They're running fine. I wonder what do they have in store for that? Are they going to try to get everything off? Are they going to remaster, not remake? Are they going to remaster everything that, I guess, was a PS3 exclusive? I know they're not going to do that. No. No, I know they're not going to do that. Yeah. No,
100% it's a good because, thought. What is it? Jim Ryan said that why do people want to play old games? So no,
yeah,
they're not going to.
I mean, there's 100% just not an interest not by people who make the decisions for it to happen.
Exactly. The fact that the first Ratchet and Clank game was remade for PS4 is kind of surprising, but then I realized mid sentence that the movie was coming out.
It was tie-in. So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like The Last of Us is going to be for the TV show.
And also, like, in specific, because with, like, Metal Gear Solid 4, I wonder if that is something that's going to be remade. Because that's one of the only. So, Folklore, what I remember, Folklore Lair are the only ones that are not on PS Now. The only two, like, exclusives that are not on PS Now. Everything else may be there. I may be off a bit, but those two would be, like, the only two exclusives that I have not seen from the PS3 era. And Metal Gear Solid 4 is a special case. So, yeah. I would not be surprised with Metal Gear Solid 4 if that got remade.
Well, Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to be completely up to Konami to do. And they're not going to do it. And two, Metal Gear Solid 4 kind of sucks. So,
what?
It would be... I mean, I agree with that. Yeah. Nah. Yes, it very much does. I'm 100% am not crazy. It is very subpar. Crazy no, it is very, very subpar. But it would be nice to, I still would like to see it on another system, like, or PC or something. So it's just not stuck there. Yeah. Same thing with the HD collection. It would be nice to have it on something that has more, that isn't like a dead end, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. Because there's still, like, quite a few games, like, on the PS3 that are literally just going to be stuck there. Like, the last DDR game is basically stuck to the... Well, PS3, 360, whatever. Darkstalkers Revenge.
Is that available
Revenge.
On...
No,
is that
Resurrected.
Available on 360?
It is on 360, the, on the store, but, like... yeah, it should still be on the store. I think it's on the store. I mean, you had Marvel Origins Collection, which was on PS3 and 360, but it's only playable on PS3 360. The X-Men Arcade game is only available on that generation.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
There is.
That's the thing, because it's like some of them are...
Yeah. I was hesitant to say MVC2 because it's like it was on PS2, was that on GameCube, it was... No, not GameCube. It was on PS2, Xbox, Dreamcast. So, like, you could still technically buy a physical copy if you really wanted. You'd have to buy, like, an older console, but you could still, you know, buy it.
I'm crossing my fingers for MVC2 Evo Edition. Crossing my fingers. That's what I want. If I can't get the MVC4, that's what I want.
I don't know. I'm just pessimistic and not expecting. I think I'd rather not expect anything and be pleasantly surprised.
I think that's the way to go.
Literally, yeah. If anything,
because
that's 2020 and 2021 in a nutshell, because of COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, because apparently the Bloodborne on PC rumors have been debunked, and I keep seeing people saying, "Well, no, that was because of COVID." It's like, no,
it's just never debunked.
It's not happening. It's like, well, no, you know, maybe at some point. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's like, no, it's a matter of it's not happening. I mean, sure, maybe it possibly could happen, but it's dead, Jim. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get, 30 frames per second with bad frame pacing on PS5.
And that's what it currently is now. So. Yeah, that's what
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's nothing. Nothing's going to happen because that's not... Sony's MO... I mean, Sony's MO has always been, if something doesn't work, drop it immediately. They did that to the Vita. They did that to the Wonder Book. Who fucking remembers the goddamn Wonder Book?
I
remember the Wonder Book.
I was at the E3 for the Wonder Book.
I mean...
I remember writing that.
What about,
E3 post.
What about the stupid card game?
I have judgment. I have judgment. Camera thing for the PSP.
No, not even I have judgment. I'm talking about the monster game.
Invisible
that came out on the PSP. It came with a camera.
Invisibles.
Yes. Invisibles. Yeah. It's like Sony will drop that shit if it stops being
quickly too.
Yes, yeah. Immediately. So this has always been Sony's MO. They will drop it as soon as they possibly can. The PS2, they obviously held on for quite a while because of how well it fucking sold. Mm-hmm. We're now into the PS5 generation, and the PS3 generation is going to have to come to a close. The Vita generation is going to have to come to a close. It would have been nice to, have backwards compatibility and play those games. But again... That's not what Sony gives a shit about.
You're very pessimistic about it, but
I'm being realistic about this.
Yeah. I still think I mentioned in another podcast that they are going that I want them to put PS Now as a pretty much a Disney Vault library. So PS Vita and PSP would be there, but PS3 obviously wouldn't. It would be there only in the capacity it is today as a PS Now streaming. Because again, they don't want to focus the money on that. That's they don't want to waste the money on actually getting the retooling those games. I hope that PS Now turned into a Disney sort of vault where all those Vita games they're closing off in the store, and all the PSP games in the store, they get transferred over to PS Now in terms of downloading, because that you could actually emulate, and the PS5 would be able to do it no problem. It should be able to do it no problem.
That's a key word.
It should be able.
But that's not happening. There's no way that's happening. Again, it kind of ties in with other PS5 or Sony rumors about how Sony didn't want A Days Gone 2 to happen because it didn't. The first game did so well, and instead we're talking about remaking fucking The Last of Us. Now I know I've been very hard on The Last of Us, and this is not coming from my personal opinions on the game, shall we say. But The Last of Us does not need a fucking remake. It does not need to be remade at this point. You know, maybe in 5-6 years on the PS6, you know, maybe with The Last of Us 1 and 2 together. But the first game does not need to be remade. It still mostly looks pretty good to this day. There's no reason for a remake. It's just Sony regurgitating what they can because they want to stick to what sells. And The Last of Us would sell.
Yeah, I mean, like, I love the first one and the second one. And, I mean, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, will it run better? Yeah. Will it look better? Yeah. But I don't feel the need to go back to it. I didn't feel like I was missing something because of the hardware it was on, you know. Some games you play, you're like, yeah, man, it would be nice if X, this, and that. No, that game was perfectly fine when it was played, and I just don't feel the need to go back to it. Obviously, they're going to align it with The Last of Us HBO. Was it HBO, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, oh yeah, by the Chernobyl director. Yeah, which I'm sure will be awesome, but like I'm sure they're aligning it with that, and that's why it is going to get that, because, I mean, you know, it's going to spur more sales from people that are new, but also all the people that have already played it. And like you said, like The Last of Us, it sells insanely well, and this will too. So it's an obvious choice for them, even if it doesn't seem like it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go with it. It's, again, I don't see the need for it either. But it makes sense. Like, I get it's not for me. Like, I get it's not for me. In the sense that this is definitely going to be aligning with the HBO show. It's like 100% sure this is why they're doing it. Not 100% sure. Let's just say above 90. that, you know, that this is why they're doing it. The Last of Us remake, because again, I feel like it's not something that should be remade this early. I get it's not for me. I get that, you know, they're probably going to like pretty it up into like the Last of Us 2 engine, et cetera, so it could tie in and it could all be cohesive in terms of visuals and animations. I don't think it should have, I don't think they should have remade this one. Again, it's because of, it's obviously going to sell. Now, in regards to like Days Gone 2 being rejected for it, now, Days Gone is a very iffy for me. Because I like Days Gone, but I don't like it that much. It's not a banger. It took a while for them to fix the bugs, for it to be the version it is now. For Days Gone. So, I'm more excited that Sony Bend is actually going to be working on a new IP, a set of Days Gone 2. So I'm actually more excited about that. But Days Gone, it being changed, you know, Days Gone 2 to The Last of Us remake, I understand it in the scope on what they're trying to capture with The Last of Us IP. But I'm more excited about the new IP that Sony Ben is going to be able to show off. Because it was either The Last of Us remake or the Uncharted remake. Uncharted remake would have made more sense for me.
Yes, I think an Uncharted remake, the first one would probably make more sense. Just because it premiered like towards the beginning of that generation, and while it doesn't look terrible, I think with the PS5, I think it would definitely look better.
It'll definitely feel better too.
They would have to redo the whole game.
Yes,
it would have to be redone completely. Yeah.
And to that effect, I would say that I feel like Infamous, like the first game, could probably be remade, because that game is not a looker.
Wow.
Plus the electricity with the ray tracing.
Wow. You just brought that back. I'm like thinking about Uncharted, and you're bringing Infamous back. I'm like, yes.
Okay. Oh, no. Like,
yeah.
I loved Infamous.
The first one was Infamous. To me, the first one was actually better than the second. Like the gameplay, I guess the gameplay animation, the style, it was janky. Don't get me wrong, it was a bit janky, but I just loved the way it was, the way it moved compared to the second one. And the second one had great animations too. But there was just something about the first one that just oozed, like, originality to it.
Yeah. The first one, they got, like, right, you know, from the beginning. Well, I wouldn't say right from the beginning, but, like, I feel like, again, Infamous should be given another chance, but Sucker Punch is now the Ghost of Tsushima studio, which is kind of what Sony does. It's like, once a studio has that...
that prestige, the IP, yeah.
Cash cow, that golden goose, they become that studio. Well, that's why they're
hiring more people,
like,
so they could, like, spin off. That's what's been going on with some of the studios. They're getting bigger now, because...
Yes, that is one of the things, that, like, the rumors is that instead of Sony buying new studios, they're, you know, giving their studios more backing, which helps because, Insomniac is Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man, no. Ratchet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I don't know why I always forget that. But yeah, like, Insomniac has, like, an A team and a B team. Well, okay, A team and team one. I shouldn't, like, make it seem like one's better than the other. But, like, you know, they have, like, you know, the one team doing Spider-Man and one team doing...
Ratchet.
Like, what else they do?
Yes.
Ratchet, that's right.
They're like the VIP. There's a VIP.
I don't know why I kept thinking...
Right now. They're just cranky stuff out. High quality.
I wouldn't necessarily say cranking stuff out, but yeah, I mean, like, they have, like, you know, main teams, and, like, they obviously have a passion. I'm sure they dragged Ratchet and Clank into this generation, kicking and screaming at, not at Sony's behest, just like, you know, we're gonna fucking do it because we want to. Because the Ratchet and Clank movie didn't do so well either.
No.
And they were, and they basically did give away the first, or the remake of the first game, so.
Yep.
And they only remade the first game, so. It definitely seemed
it only
like...
It only took 9 months probably, to remake the first game, by the way. Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they, because, like, they have, it does seem like, I said, they have someone there that, like, loves Ratchet and Clank, and, like, you know, they push it to keep it going, because, like, look at all of Sony's other, like, mascots. Sly Cooper, when was the last time there was a Sly Cooper game? PS3.
Yeah.
Fucking Jack and Daxter.
Jack and Daxter I could do without.
Not, I mean, I know there was like a...
Jack and Daxter I could do
There was what?
About. Like, I really don't care about Jack and Daxter.
Yeah, that's I feel done. Like out of those, like, yeah. Ratchet and Clank was the better one. But still, like, mm-hmm. It's just something that they kind of left at the wayside. I mean, obviously you can't count Crash or Spyro, but, you know, still. It does seem like they will drop something as soon as it becomes not profitable, which I guess I understand. In a way, but, like, they are sitting on tons of IPs that people still love.
Yeah.
While you look at Microsoft, who had to buy IPs that people loved because they don't have anything really except for Halo and Forza. Mm-hmm. And I guess Gears. And I guess Age of Empires. And I guess Flight Simulator. But still. They don't have, like... the plethora of big, I don't want to say big franchises, but, like, popular IPs.
Yeah.
So they have had to buy, like, other studios, like Bethesda, notoriously. Meanwhile, Sony's just like, we're just going to concentrate on the blockbusters. We're all going to concentrate on the stuff that we know will sell. It's like, okay, that's great and all. But you got to be a little bit more experimental. Like, you don't have to have, everything doesn't have to be a AAA title. Like, you can have B tier games and AA games.
Yeah.
Like, those are still good. And they let you have more experimentation and you can get stuff out get between the big
All
releases.
They have to do is just get the ball out. Like, at this point, just get the ball out.
Yeah, but, I mean, the vault's closed. The vault's been nuked. There's no vault, there's just a door.
It's just been gone.
I mean, I think that, not to segue too much, but like, I think that's where something like Game Pass helps a lot, because they can be experimental, because it can just benefit in pushing subscribers, you know? That's where I think, like, yeah, all the, like, the Bethesda acquisition, like, especially, like, Arcane games, you know, don't usually sell well, have cult followings, and, like, they'll be able to still stay experimental because they don't have to sell millions of copies to exist, which is kind of cool.
Which, that's why I think the vault idea is the perfect way for PS Now. This is where, like, it all ties in with the vault, because of...
Oh,
it, yeah, because of,
it should be. Yeah, it 100% should be. Everyone should be doing something like that.
Nintendo should be doing something like that. Yeah, we criticize Nintendo a lot about re-releasing, you know, the games that should be on Virtual Console for $60. Well, I criticize them a lot for it.
Yeah, but I mean, in essence, though, that's kind of what they've done with, like, Nintendo Online. Like, you, yeah. I mean, it's not a huge robust
thing.
It should be, though.
It should be closer to Disney Plus. It should be, and that's what I'm hoping Sony does. Yeah,
but like they're still going in a better direction than Sony is. Like, sure, they have PlayStation Now, but it just seems like, yeah, whatever. We'll add a few titles because we have to, or, you know, just to get people subscribed. But it's not a focus. And I think it should be a focus. Like, obviously, you can't, I mean, you know, The Last of Us 3, you know, God of War 2 should be on PlayStation Now day one.
They can't afford that.
But, like, it should be something, like, within a year when, like, the price drops down to $20.
Like Marvel, Marvel Unlimited. More like a Marvel Unlimited approach, yeah, where, you know, before it was 6 months.
Yeah, after like, a certain amount of time. Because it's like, there has to be a point where, you know, the games obviously stop selling.
Yeah.
And you may as well just throw it on Now, get more people to subscribe, and maybe, like, you can, like, start releasing games closer and closer to release date on there. Like, there's definitely, like, things they can do to bolster their streaming service. But they don't want to. Very clearly, they don't. What did they add recently that was just only going to be for, like, six months or something?
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff that's for 6 months.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Avengers. Yeah. It's like they should have had that, like, I guess had it day and date. Like, have more reason for people to be like, well, I don't know about this game, but let me check out, you know,
PlayStation Now. You know what I also think it is, too? I think it's because because I know a lot of, like, phone companies do the same thing. They're safe until someone else tries it, and I know a lot of other, I want to say, like, HBO probably did it. You know, Disney was going to do, you know, to do the same thing, but, like, companies like HBO, companies like Peacock, like, certain, like, in the streaming, like, I guess in the streaming, like, sense, for streaming content, certain companies did, like, a wait-and-see approach to see, you know, if it's going to work or not. Again, Sony can't afford to, like, put, like, those, you know, those Last of Us 3s, those God of War twos, you know, day and release, because that's their bread and butter. That's what they sell. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like you said, they should be there, but they should be at a different, you know, time. And I definitely agree with you. Like, there should be, like, a certain cutoff time. But yeah, I really think they're doing this, the wait and see thing. They're trying to play it safe with this, because they can't afford it. This is, you know, it's something that they can't afford in terms of, like, releasing those big titles. So I want to see, like from them, I would like to see if they're going to get experimental. They should get experimental with episodic content with PS Now. They want to get experimental. Not certainly release, not release those blockbuster titles, but do, like, a Until Dawn. And it's, like, 6 parts on PlayStation Now. You can only play it on PlayStation Now until the season's over, then you can buy it. Like, you know, things like that. I know Microsoft is probably going to do the same thing with Perfect Dark, with episodic, because that one's rumored to have, like, episodic content. So, you know, if they get experimental in that sense, you know, it's safe, but it's not. It's safe and experimental, and it's not too crazy where they would lose out, because they've been doing stuff like episodic content with Until Dawn, because that could be turned into episodic content. Detroit is another one. So I
just feel like in general the industry has moved on past episodic content. I mean, obviously Final Fantasy Remake was standing because of how grandiose the game is, but like there's really no reason to have episodic content. At least not now. It'd be nice with like smaller titles and stuff with like an actual solid release schedule, but I think that was always the problem episodic stuff.
Well, they could have the game. Like things I've thought about, like, you know, if anyone wants to get a like crack in this, they should just have the game finished completely, then release it, and episodically release it. And then from there, you know, that's how you build up a, you know, specific audience for it. I know, but I know you would say like, oh, why would they just make the whole game and just have it episodic, you know? Again, it would be to keep subscribers. That would be like the case, because isn't that the case with like Disney Plus and HBO Max, where they just release everything a week so you could like talk about it? And maybe that could be a thing. Like that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping someone takes that idea and just like really like sits on it to see what sort of experimental shit you can do with that. Because Until Dawn is like, again, Until Dawn and Detroit, those lend well into that sort of a format. But like other gaming formats, like other genres, I wonder if there's things that you can do and embrace it, you know, episodically like that.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of experimental things going on that from a company that's not really that experimental right now.
Well, it would be safe. It would be safer than launching, you know, their first party games.
Well, no, I mean they're never going to do that. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that, but because they don't need to. But I think they should eventually launch them sometime on the service. I also think they should launch more on PC too, even if it's a year or 2 years out. But I also not confident they're heavy hitters like Uncharted, God of War, you know, and so on and so forth are ever going to make it. Like I know Days Gone did and Horizon did, but those are still like, those aren't huge.
I legitimately forgot Days Gone was announced for PC.
Yeah. Like I can't ever see Uncharted or God of War being on PC, which would be awesome. And I don't know why they wouldn't do it, especially since do it 2 years later. I mean, whatever, you know, it would still sell insanely well, provided it's a good port, obviously, but I don't know.
It would still sell well, yeah.
Port, it would still true. Sell. Yeah. I mean, look at fucking Horizon. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, that was like their first attempt. I mean, I guess if you don't count Death Stranding, but still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's potential in PC sales, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, like, Lord knows if they release it on PC, like, 2 years later, it'll probably be, like, $20 on PS5, mm-hmm. but, like, $50 on PC. And they would still, and dumbasses would still buy it, because Lord knows I would buy a port of
You're Bloodborne. Absolutely right. You're absolutely
100%,
right.
100%. $60. 100%.
Well,
I would be first in line, and I would pay even more for the extra DLC.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, like, the user base is just too big to ignore, I feel like. I mean, Steam has, last time I looked, like, 120 million concurrent users per month. That's insane, you know? Even if a tiny, tiny fraction of that sells, like, that's more than a good potential of those people that, because they probably don't have a PS5 anyway, that would, you know, buy it on Steam. But
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, it's still a lot of like wait and see for them in terms, because again, they're playing it safe because of that, because I think it's just the money loss in terms of like console sales. So I do wonder if we're gonna get more. I know they did say we are gonna get more PlayStation IPs on the PC. It's just wondering, yeah,
it's, when I see it,
it's more like which ones are coming. That's more the case. It's more like which ones are coming. Again, Horizon Days Gone is great, but is Uncharted going to come? Or is God of War? God of War, I just don't see. Yeah, no. God of War, I don't see no. at all. God of War, no. That's not. Last of Us, no. That's not going to be a thing. But Uncharted Collection, I could see popping up. I could see that popping up. I don't. Maybe Infamous, like, I could see popping up. Like, things of that nature, like, you know.
Is it past your bedtime? None of those are going to happen.
I don't know. I seen Stranger Things happen in the gaming industry. Stranger Things have happened.
I just can't see it.
So, I mean, the S in Sony stands for safe.
They will play it safe.
Because Lord knows, as soon as like one of PC port fails, like either in terms of sales or like just bad word of mouth, they will drop it like it's hot. 100%.
Yeah. That's definitely the matter, that they're gonna play like it completely safe with the PC ports. Yeah, I just, again, we know more are coming, but which ones? So, I'm now so excited about that Infamous remake potential. If they're gonna remake it, I'm like so excited. Yeah, I'm like excited. So excited for it, because it's you know, they're doing The Last of Us. This could work, and they were thinking about Uncharted. This could work. I would want that. Anywho. I guess we're going to go into our final topic of the day, with the PS5 getting its, I guess it's big update. Well, it's a kind of a medium-sized update, but it does include a lot of things that should have been a launch, I think, here. So the PS5 is finally getting cold storage, which is the ability to move your PS5 games to an external.
Finally
it's about time. At least that release there, so that's great that that's coming. This is actually launching this week, of the podcast episode here. There's going to be improvements on pretty much a cross-generation share play. Now you can actually share your now you can do share play with someone on PS4. So before, well, not even before, but, you know, in these 6 months, you can only do it for PS5 players. You can only do it with themselves, but now you can do it with people who have PS4s. So that's great. It's a great improvement. The game base is going to include a tab for parties and friends. Now, currently, the parties and friends would go on top of your friends list when you go ahead and hit the game base quick menu. Now there's actually going to be a tab to separate the two. So that's great that they're doing this one, because, you know, when we play like any sort of multiplayer game on PS5, at the top it always shows like party rooms that are open. I knew that, but some people may have not known that. That party rooms are like always open if you do make one, but now there's going to be a tab and you'll be able to like know, and you can like join it. So that's awesome. The other thing, this is a big one too, is that you can finally customize the game library, meaning you could move and hide them from the view, from, you know, the main menu. This one is about the end time too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many Destiny beta, Destiny alpha for this sports game, beta for this, that just weren't able to be hidden ever. And yeah, I mean, that's going to clear up a ton of space by itself. So yeah, I'm super happy about being able to hide library items for sure.
I'm also excited that we'll be able to like move them out of the main like menu, because I rotate between a lot of games, and there's some games where I want to go back to and I have to go into like the library. So being able to like to move them up front is great. That's awesome. So that's a good one. And I know there's another thing here would be the new trophy settings and stat screen. Now you can actually choose between how you want your what you want your trophies to be like recorded as. So you could like change the setting so that it could be recorded as a screenshot, a video, or you know, none at all. So now you have the option to do that. And you could like actually customize like on a specific trophy from like silver to bronze. If you want bronze to only do screenshots, you could do that. If you want gold to do videos, you could do that as well. So that's a pretty big one. I'm not a big trophy hunter, so it doesn't affect me as much. No. But I know a lot of people have been actually waiting for this because you know, those do take up space. So being able to prioritize them you know, using it that way, that can help you save space. Another one which I didn't know about is that you can screen zoom. So you'll be able to adjust the magnifications of the screen, which is pretty dope, because there's some games where it's still, I still don't know why certain developers don't allow font size changes. But now the system has it built in. Well, not built in, but this will help you with cases like that, as you can now magnify a specific part of the screen.
Yeah, I mean, this is like one of the first, this isn't the first update, but one of the first like bigger updates for PS5, right? Obviously getting cold storage was a must. I mean, it's still a step away from their, you know, internal SSD storage that is going to come around
summer,
I guess, right? Their NVMe or whatever's going on in there. I don't know. It's still shocking that this thing isn't more out of beta in a way. Like it feels like you're in a beta program almost with some of these things. Like some of it just doesn't make sense, or it just isn't accessible. Like the cold storage, and then still the internal
storage. I'm like okay with because the internal storage, because of just like the drive itself, they said themselves like this is gonna take time, because we have to pre-certify it. That's what Cerny did say.
But like, how long does that pre-certification take?
It can take a year. It could take that long. It was mentioned that, you know, it could take that long because they do have to go through, you know, the actual compatibility of pretty much every card that is currently out that would, like, there's currently a few cards out now that might have the potential to be used. And there's a lot of like things that I guess go on with it. And that's why they said they were going to take that time to do it. So I'm fine with knowing that, you know, they were going to take that time. The cold storage thing, on the other hand, that should have been something that was there at launch. Now that's more important with it. Just because of just how the technology is. That cold storage should have been there at release, and we mentioned before, like, it feels like this whole operating system just pretty much hot out the oven. They just like finished it like last minute. Yeah.
Clearly.
Last minute.
I mean, it's just one of those things, like they wanted a whole brand new, you know, user interface, menu system, so on and so forth, but
it would have redo. Yeah.
That kind of doesn't allow you to iterate on what you already have. You know, like I guess people want something new.
I'm like that. I'm like that. I want a new presentation. I want a new interface. Like,
I'm like the exact opposite. I just want usable, which is kind of how Microsoft did versus Sony. Like, they went with what they've had faster, whatever. It just allows you to iterate on the process. Honestly, when all this stuff went down with the PS3 store, I booted up PS3 for the first time in a while. I miss the XMB.
XMB
so bad.
Is one of the best operating, and the Vita is.
Like, I don't know what it is, but it's just like, it gives you the information you need right there instead of like having to scroll left to right forever, like I feel like you do on the PS5. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's nostalgia.
No, it's just very good at just giving you all the information at once, giving you all the, you know, different like layers.
Yeah, especially when we got folders. Like it was all different good, layers.
You know? And the Vita was great too. So they're good at making, you know, operating systems. They're very good at it. That's why like it's you know, the actual like code stories, that one is like weird for me. So like it's definitely like hot out the oven, and this is like the first big one that addresses some issues, because there's gonna be some other stuff which this update does address. So it's out this week, and I guess we will know more exactly on those other little things that it could have addressed. So yeah, I'm kind of excited for the cold storage and just to customize customizing the game library. That's a big win right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to see the progress. Yeah. You know,
I guess we're gonna shoot off like one more question. What is everyone's favorite operating system for consoles?
For consoles?
Yeah, for consoles.
I mean, mine's XMB, and it's like not even close.
and handhelds.
I like Blades too. On 360. What was that on 360?
Yeah, I was 360. It was like the fast, first. Yeah, Blades was nice. It was definitely limited in terms of like accessibility,
for sure.
But it was, I'd say, the best generally.
Yeah,
XMB felt like it was fine, but it I don't know, it didn't feel organized. It just felt kind of like whatever.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially before they got folders and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Xbox One sucks. Every iteration of the Xbox One Dash sucks. 100%. PS5 is fine. I don't really have anything positive or negative.
I think mine would be the Vita. I think the Vita, like...
It's been so long since I played the Vita, I don't remember.
The bubbles with the touchscreen. And then
I don't like the bubbles.
Up a different information screen right there. I think that's one of my favorites. And the XMB, too. The PS4 one tops out somewhere. The thing with the PS4 one that it gets slower over time. You know, when they started adding more just social media aspects into it, that's when I felt like it got slower. I also love the Switch one for some reason, and I know it's not the best, but the Switch one, the Switch operating system is just like, you know, there's nothing there, and it's just like, go play the game, go, yeah, you know, yeah, like, mean, there's nothing there, and that's fine. And yeah. And
well, they're just like, here's all your stuff. It's like, okay,
well, for me it's like, it's easier to get into a game without getting distracted. That's yeah. So I like the Switch one because of that, but I don't like the store. I don't like the store that much. It gets very disorganized. And yeah, you're not able to see like a lot of things on the store. But overall, would have to be the Vita. The Vita operating system was dope, and you could use AirPods and Bluetooth headphones. So it was like dope. It was perfect.
You're right. It's fine. I wish they would introduce themes, or at least like color choices other than dark and light. I kind of liked the 3DS's OS by the end. Again, because you could add, like, you know, themes and stuff like that. And it was just like a small little thing that kind of just like helped personalize your system.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about the Vita one as well. Even though my Vita is not customized as much in terms of like background stuff, but the ones I do see, because I do have like a few pages that you can like put it on, like your background and your and like your lock screen. But the ones like I've seen some cool like lock screens with the Vita with the zipper, because you know you have to like scroll up for it and it's like zipping it up. So it's yeah, I like the Vita the most. It's the most, it makes me the most happy to be playing a game. And with the music, so. Well, I guess we're going to end it off with that here, with the operating systems. I guess we're going to close the floodgates. Yes, we're going to close them again. that would be it for our show this week. And definitely like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter or Reverse, whichever one you like to do. It's still there. Also check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, all the major podcast directories where you're able to get podcasts are there. Definitely subscribe and hit the button as soon as they're up. So yeah, we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Catch you on the flip side.